إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار أما بعد. Indeed, we begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the Lord and the Master and the Creator. And we seek we praise Him and we seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. And whoever is misled, none can guide him except Allah Azza wa Jal alone. I testify that there is none worthy of worship alone, with none worthy of worship except Allah alone, with no partners whatsoever. And that Muhammad, the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech, the best words, is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Quran. And the best guidance, the only guidance, the best guidance, is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of all the affairs are the newly invented matters, the newly invented novelties. And everything newly invented is misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the hellfire. What we mention here is called the khutbat al-hajah, the khutbah of need. This is something that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to begin his lectures with, his advice, his writings. And this was to prepare the people so they could take in what he was going to say from his lips. What they would take, the wisdom and the beautiful pearls that would come from the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he would begin with this, reminding them of this. And this is something which has been mentioned in the books of hadith, like the Sunan Abi Dawood, and Nisa'i, Al-Hakim, and is authenticated by the great scholars of hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach this to his companions. This khutbat al-hajah, he used to teach it to his companions. He used to teach it just like the shahud in the prayer. And that shows us the status of this khutbat al-hajah, this khutbah of need. Because again, it is just praising Allah Azza wa Jal, turning to Allah Azza wa Jal, asking Allah Azza wa Jal, testifying that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. So this is something that we need to practice and learn and try to memorize. Because the Prophet paid attention to this. He paid attention to this khutbat al-hajah. This was something that was practiced in the early days at the time of the Sahaba, like the Prophet used to teach it to the Sahaba. And again, it was revived by two great scholars. It was revived again, this khutbat al-hajah was revived by two great scholars. One of them is probably the greatest scholar that ever walked on the face of this earth. And he was Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest scholars, all-rounder scholar of everything, of the aqidah, of the belief, of the Muslim belief, tafsir, hadith, and everything, subhanAllah, of all the sciences, one of the greatest scholars that ever lived, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And he revived this. You'll find this in his writings. You'll find that he mentioned this khutbat al-hajah, inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu. So it's something that we need to practice and learn. And one of the great scholars that revived it in our time is the great scholar Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, one of the great scholars of hadith. Again, he revived this again in our time. So this is something that the Prophet ﷺ used to begin. And this is something to prepare ourselves with what he would say. After that, we'd like to mention that this religion of Islam really is a beautiful religion. It's a beautiful religion. And Allah chose it for us as well. Allah chose Islam as the final religion for all the people. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَدِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this day I have perfected your religion for you. completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. So, alhamdulillah, by Allah's blessings, Islam is a complete religion. All the rules and regulations and the beliefs and everything are there in the Kitab and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as was practiced by the first three generations. So we did not need something extra added to it, because it won't be perfect. If we add something extra to Islam, a new practice in Islam, then it won't be perfect. And if we take something away, then we are saying that it, you know, it is deficient. No, we do not need to do this. Alhamdulillah, by Allah's blessing, Islam is a perfect and complete religion. So we do not need to delve into different sciences and different ideologies and different thinking and democracy and politics and all these type of things which the West is actually pushing us towards. We do not need to go into this. Why? Because the religion of Islam is perfect, is complete, and is the religion which has been chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal for us. Since we know this, since we know that the religion of Islam is complete and perfect, and we want to worship Allah like Allah wants to be worshipped. Yes? This is very important. That we worship Allah Azza wa Jal how Allah wants us to worship Him. Not according to our own intellect, not in according to our own feelings and desires. No, we want to worship Allah Azza wa Jal how Allah wants us to worship Him. And that's why Allah has completed His religion for us, and has completed His deen for us. Okay? So, because we know this, we know that one day we are going to be accountable for this. Knowing that Islam is the complete religion, we will be accountable for this. So each and every single one of us will leave this earth. It is inevitable. This is something that will occur for every human being. Every human being will die. All the luxuries and all the pleasures of this dunya are going to end. One day we're walking on this earth, the next we're in the earth, under the ground, and forgotten about. This is inevitable. This is something that will happen. This is the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal, that we will die. Yeah? So we know that the religion is complete. We know that we will die. And we have to prepare ourselves for that. We have to prepare ourselves for that. And the only way to prepare for that is by following the Quran and the sunnah, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, with the correct understanding. Because if each and every one of us now open the Quran and we open up the hadith of the Rasul ﷺ, each and every single one of us will have a different understanding. I think it means this. And Khalid will say, I think it means this. And Muhammad will say, no, I think it means this. That's why it is very, very, very important that we go back to the correct understanding of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we go back to the understanding of who? The understanding of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came to show us, to explain what the Quran was. And then at that time, there were people. Allah Azza wa Jal chose the best of generations, the best of the people, to show us how to practice the Quran and how to practice the understanding and the explanation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were the Sahaba, the companions, and then the people after them and the people after them. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayr al-nas al-qarni," the best of the people is my generation. "Thumma alladhina yulunuhum, thumma alladhina yulunuhum," and then those after him and after them. This is a hadith which is sahih, mentioned in Sahih Muslim. So this is the correct understanding, the best way. We see the Muslims all over the globe having differences of opinion, broken up into different groups and parties and sects, and everybody bringing their own intellect, their own ideology. Why not just go back to the first three generations? See what was their ideology, what was their understanding. And we can only do this by going back to the scholars who implement the Sunnah. Yeah, this is the way we find out what did the first three generations do. And this will solve all our problems. This will solve the problems of the Muslims. So now we know that we have to find out what is it that will happen in the grave once we're under the ground. When we're dead and buried and people have walked away, we find from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that there will be three questions asked to us. Three questions. Can anybody give me one of the first question that would be asked to us? Can anybody? What is the first question? Who is your Lord? The first question, Man Rabbuk. Yeah, who is your Lord? By the way, this is all, this talk is a way of reminder for myself and for yourself. As a reminder, it's information that you already know. It's just, but the reminder benefits the believer. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, the reminder benefits the believer. So the first question is, who is your Lord? Man Rabbuk. Is it left up to our intellect to find out who is our Lord? Is it left up to our own desires and our feelings to find out who? No. The only way we can find out who our Lord is by going back to the knowledge of Islam. But the knowledge of Islam teaches us who our Lord is. Our Lord is Allah. Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. Mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَأْبُدُوهُ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord. Is it the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning, telling us, Allah telling us, indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord. So worship Him, and this is the correct way. This is the correct way. This is the whole reason why Allah created the whole of existence. Allah created us to worship Him alone, with no partners. So that's why we find from the methodology, the practice of the prophets, it wasn't to busy the people with politics. It wasn't to busy them with that. It wasn't to busy them with the dunya, chasing after the dunya. It was to call the people back to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. Worship Allah with sincerity. That means you only worship for Allah's paradise. You only worship to please Allah. You don't worship to show off. You don't stand there in the masjid praying so people can see you. No. You don't worship Allah to get some financial gain, some benefit. No. We worship Allah sincerely, purely for Allah's sake alone. Because why? We want to get to paradise. Yeah, we want to get to paradise. So the wazifa, the job of the prophets was to call the people back to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But we find a lot of the people, a lot of the Muslims, they want to busy the people up. They want to busy the people up and take them away from this. They say, oh, you're wasting your time. We can achieve something by establishing political parties. Yeah? And we can enter into a new way of getting to the authority by democracy and these type of ways. This was not the way of the prophets. This was not the way of the prophets. The way of the prophets was to call the people back to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and following the sunnah of the prophets. This was the way. Like we find from a statement from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas was one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was known as the Habar al-Ummah, yani the one who was had a great understanding of the tafsir of the Qur'an. He was the first one, really, that the companions should go to find the tafsir of the Qur'an. The great companion, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And he mentions that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to send ulama, all the companions are ulama. As far as the scholarly are concerned, we understand that all the companions are ulama, the Sahaba. The Prophet ﷺ used to send one alim, and he would send him to a country to teach the people. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, when you come to them, like he sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he sent Ali radiallahu anhu to Yemen, and he sent various companions to different places. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Innaka ta'ti qawman min ahlil kitab." Indeed, you will come to a people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. Falyakun, so let the first thing be, falyakun awwal ma tad'uhum alayhi an yuwahhid Allah. So let the first thing that you call them to is to single out Allah alone for worship. Single out Allah alone for worship. We find in many of the Muslim countries, the people, because of their little knowledge, because of their ignorance, because of their desires, they go to other than Allah to ask for things. You'll find this in some Muslim countries, that they'll maybe go to a grave, to a dead person in the grave, and asking that person for something that only Allah can give. So the job of the prophets and the job of the ulama is to call the people back to worship Allah alone, not putting any partners with him. Alhamdulillah, in many places, some of the places of the Muslim Ummah, we don't have these graves and these type of things. Yet, because of the learning the knowledge of the Sunnah and Tawheed, we find people, they might even say something, which is falls into that category of not worshipping Allah alone, or falling into the category of shirk. Shirk is associating partly with Allah. And we find this especially in these poems and poetry that they teach to the children. Because the kuffar, they have no sense of this. The non-Muslims, they have no sense of this tawheed and shirk and accountability. So they'll have even in their poetry, for example, the famous one where the wolf comes to the house and he wants to blow the house down, and not by the hair of my chinny chin chin, you hear this? So this, even this statement, not by the hair, no, this is all from Allah. Our protection is from Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. So you'll find this falling into these traps. Or, for example, even at the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was a time of education and correction, when somebody said, MashaAllah wa shi'ta, when he said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever Allah wills and what you will. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became very angry. He said, أَجْعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدَّةً, you have placed me as a partner with Allah. Say, MashaAllah wahda, only what Allah wills. Only what Allah wills. And this is what the scholars sometimes mention. This is shirk al-lafzi, yani shirk in wording. So we have to be very careful. We have to be, struggle and fight ourselves to make sure that we are sincere and that we learn about the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, so we don't fall into these traps of the shaitan, of falling into the shirk. So, man rabbak, who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? Lord is Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? And we know from the Quran itself that the Quran calls to this tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani putting singling out Allah alone for worship. The whole of the Quran, Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, Al-Jawziyah rahimullah ta'ala, he was one of the greatest scholars of the Muslim Ummah. These scholars, they came back over 700 years ago, and he was a student of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He actually mentioned, he said that every single ayah in the Quran indicates to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. The tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal is amazing, amazing, because Allah Azza wa Jal can only be worshipped, and He can only be worshipped alone. He cannot be put partners with. He cannot associate partners with. Because Allah will never forgive if somebody dies upon that. Allah will never forgive somebody committing shirk with Him, putting partners with Him. So we find in the Quran that there are. This tawheed, as the scholars have explained, is of three types. I'm sure the brothers know this. What is the first type of tawheed? What is the first type of tawheed? Anybody? Tawheed al-rububiyyah, jazakallah khair. Tawheed al-rububiyyah. Tawheed of lordship. That Allah is our Lord. Allah is our creator. Allah is our master. Allah is the one who gives us rizq. When we go out and we earn our rizq, our earnings, our job, who is the one who gives it? Who can prevent it sometimes? Sometimes you think to yourself, oh, I might not get paid. It's Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know from the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that no one will die except that his rizq will be complete for him. His provision will be complete for him. So the rizq is rushing to come to you. So you don't have to worry. You have to trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Work hard and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah will give you the rizq. So Allah is our provider. Okay? What is the second type of tawheed? Anybody? Tawheed uluhiyya, mashallah, tabarakallah. Tawheed uluhiyya. Tawheed uluhiyya is also called tawheed al-ibadah, is worshipping Allah alone with no partners, putting no partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in all His worship. Okay? And what is the third type? Anybody? Third type. Sorry? Tawheed asma wa sifat. The tawheed, the names and the characteristics of Allah Azza wa Jal. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran and what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned and describing our Lord. So this is Allah Azza wa Jal, okay? From the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have a verse in the Quran, an ayah in the Quran, which has actually all these three parts of Tawheed. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما فاعبده واستبر على عبادته هل تعلم له سميا. Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between, so worship him alone and be constant and patient in his worship. Do you know of anyone who is similar to him? This is the verse in Surah Maryam. Okay, رب السماوات والأرض. So here we have which tawhid is this? رب السماوات والأرض. Rububiyyah, tawhid al-rububiyyah. رب السماوات, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. وما بينهما, in what is between them. فَعْبُدْهُ, worship him. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anything. Allah doesn't need anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all these things. Okay, we find, for example, who's the richest man in the world? Yani, if you said to anybody, first person that comes to mind is Bill Gates. Everybody says that he's the richest man in the world. But what does he have? He has nothing. Nothing. What, for a little bit of the dunya? No. But Allah Azza wa Jal owns everything, the universe and everything. Everything. Subhanallah. Just shows the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما فاعبده. So, here we have a command. Worship him. Worship Allah Azza wa Jal. واستبر لعبادته. And be patient and constant on that worship. This is what Allah created us for. It is what he created us for. He didn't create us to just keep chasing after the dunya, just see how much money I can get. Or he didn't create us so we can get very passionate about politics and demonstrations. And he didn't create it. This is not mentioned in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They could have done these things, but they didn't do these things. So Allah created us to worship him and to follow the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in what he taught us of how to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيعًا. Do you know of anything similar to Allah Azza wa Jal? There is nothing like unto Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah hears everything and sees everything. So this is our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. When we come to know this, one of the benefits, fruits of knowing who is our Lord in this dunya, is that we have to have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And taqwa is what? Fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. Upon knowledge. Because how can a person know with the difference between what is right and what is wrong? It's not left up to our intellect and our nature, but it is something which we have to find by learning and studying knowledge. And really, Akhwan, studying, seeking knowledge is something that you have to be patient upon. It's something that you have to be patient upon. We are very easily patient upon learning sciences and computers and IT and finance and getting the degrees. We are very very easy patient with that. But when it comes to the religion, don't have time, we start making. That's very important. Very important, because this is for the hereafter, the akhirah. Okay. So we have to have taqwa. And this is something which Allah Azza wa Jal advised the people of before. وَلَقَدْ وَسَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Indeed, we advised or we recommended to the people of the book, the Jews and Christians before you, وَإِيَّاكُمْ and you, أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and that you fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay? So this, when we learn about Allah Azza wa Jal, and we understand about this tawheed, from the fruits of that, we understand that we have to be muttaqeen. We have to have taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. So keeping away from that which is haram, and fulfilling that which Allah loves. Okay? This is from the taqwa. Okay, this brings us on to the second question. What's the second question that will be asked in the graves? Anybody? Mandinuk. Okay, it's not actually there's different narrations of the tartib, the arrangement of what the questions will be, different arrangements. Okay, but yes, this is one of the questions, that will be asked. What is your religion? And this we know, that the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal is the Kitab and the Sunnah. The Kitab and the Sunnah, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the perfect, the best, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hadith, the authentic statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is where we take our religion from. This is where we take our religion from. And with this, we need two fundamentals. We need two principles. And these two principles we apply for everything. If we understand these two principles and we apply these two principles, we will become successful in everything that we follow. The first principle is that it has to be sincere. Any action that you do, any aspect of worship that you do from the religion of Islam, the first thing is it has to be sincere, only for Allah's sake. And the second one is that it has to be in accordance with what the Prophet Muhammad brought. Okay? Because really at the end of the day, the only leader that we have is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The greatest leader, the only leader that we have which unites us, is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And we love him more than we love ourselves. Because we cannot have complete iman, perfect iman, until we love the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ more than we love our own selves. And that's why we try to follow him. Why do you think we dress like this, or look like this, or try to pray like him? Why? Because we want to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these two foundations. What I would like to read to you regarding this is that this was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the prophets. Okay, and we find that the way to learn these type of things, learn this type of knowledge of the prophets, is by going back to the scholars of Islam, going back to the scholars of Islam. And alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed the Muslim Ummah, that there is always a time period where you will have scholars of Islam. There's never a time period you will be free from scholars of Islam. They will be there. The people of knowledge, they will be there. It is up to us to go find out who they are. We have to find out who they are. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the scholars, the people of knowledge, are the inheritors of the prophets. Warathatul Anbiya. Okay, the prophets, they didn't leave anything behind. They didn't leave an inheritance, a mirath behind, other than knowledge. Yeah, other than knowledge. Shaykh Islam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, one of the great scholars, he said, if knowledge could be taken, if knowledge could be musawwar, yani if you could take a picture of knowledge, it would be more beautiful than the sun and the moon. You know, sometimes when we see the sun setting or see the sun rise on the horizon, we say, oh, how beautiful this is. MashaAllah, look at Allah's creation. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah brings a nice similitude. He said, if knowledge could be pictured, it would be more beautiful than the sun and the moon. Okay? So this is why it's very important that we take our knowledge from the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, the scholars. So Ibn Qayyim said, as for the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Yeah? The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. They're the ones that took the knowledge, because the prophets left behind knowledge. They didn't leave behind dinar and dirham. They didn't leave behind gold and silver. They didn't leave this behind. They left something more valuable. They left something more valuable. How to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is more valuable than anything else, this knowledge. So Ibn Qayyim said, as for the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, indeed the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. He said, this is from the greatest virtues of the people of knowledge, since indeed the prophets are the best of Allah's creation. This is from the greatest virtues for the people of knowledge. This is the great status of the people of knowledge. Why? Because the prophets are the best of creation. So their inheritors are the best of creation after them. They are the best of creation after them. We find some of the youngsters, some of the young people, yeah, young and foolish people. This is how Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that there will a time will come when there will be people that will be young and foolish, who come along and they attack or they say statements against people who've spent all their lives studying the religion of Islam. Studying the religion of Islam. For example, we have a great scholar who is alive till today. He is alive till today in living in the best place in Medina. Yeah? Medina Nabawiya, the prophetic city. And he's been teaching in the Prophet's Masjid for such a long time, maybe for over 50 years. Yeah? For maybe over 50 years. And he is a mountain of knowledge. mountain of knowledge in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Whatever better knowledge can you have? Knowledge which teaches you about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. We ask these young and foolish people, have you read Sahih Bukhari and these chapters and these things? Have you read these tafsir books? Have you read the books of fiqh? Have you read these things? You'll find a lot of them say, well, no, I don't have time because I'm busy on the internet googling and searching and writing refutations and these. Hey, what about these fundamental books of Islam you haven't studied? And these great scholars who you feel and you think that they're not doing the right thing, you know, they've studied these books. They've taken their time and effort and sacrificed their time in studying these books. So we find this great scholar, Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Abbad, hafizahullah ta'ala. And may Allah give those people who say bad things about him, may Allah give them what they deserve. May Allah give them what they deserve. And they cannot harm the scholars of Islam by their statements when they say bad things. Yeah, this is the way of the kuffar. Like, you know, recently the kuffar, they attacked, they said bad things about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Yani, they cannot harm the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The people of the Quraysh, the Kuffar Quraysh, they said even worse things. They said even worse things. They did even horrible things to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And Allah protected him. Allah will protect him. So they cannot harm him. And just like this, in the same way, these great scholars of Islam who follow the Sunnah, follow the way of the Salaf, the first three generations, who loved the Hadith of the Prophet and established the Hadith, these statements cannot harm them when these young and foolish people say things about them. These cannot harm them because, like Ibn Qayyim mentions, this is a great virtue for the people of knowledge. Since indeed the prophets are the best of Allah's creation, so their inheritors are the best of the creation after them. He says, therefore, since everyone who leaves an inheritance, and that inheritance transfers to the inheritance, and since they take their place after them, then there is none who takes place of the messengers after them in conveying that which the messengers were sent with, except the ulama. Yani the ulama, the people of knowledge, have taken that place after the prophet. They're not prophets, but they're conveying the inheritance of the prophets. They're conveying the inheritance of the prophet. They're teaching us how to understand the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. How to implement the athar, the statements of the Salaf, the first three generations, the companions. This is what they teach us. They teach us these things that we need. And this is what you'll find. The kuffar, they're always attacking the scholars of the Sunnah. I remember during the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, you know, in Kuwait and Iraq in the first Gulf War. I remember the kuffar newspapers in England. They used to say horrible things about Sheikh Abdullah Aziz Ibn Baz, one of the great scholars, very soft, gentle man, a great scholar of Islam, and he had a great status amongst the whole of the Ummah. Even his enemies used to love him. Yeah, this great scholar. And the kuffar, they used to say horrible things. They say, look at this blind man, this blind sheikh who's saying all this, that the world is flat and this, that, you know, all types of horrible things they used to say against him. This is the way of the kuffar. The Muslims don't behave like this. We respect our scholars. We love our scholars because they have taken the inheritance of the prophets, and they're conveying the inheritance of the prophets. So they are the most deserving of the people from the inheritance of the prophets. Ibn Qayyim continues, in this hadith is a point that the scholars are the closest of people to the prophets. The scholars, the ulama, are the closest of the people to the prophets, of course. Because they know, for example, you know, when you hear some of the Muslims, they say, oh, I had a dream last night. I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask them, yes, you may have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you don't know what the Prophet ﷺ looks like. You don't know the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. You don't study the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. How do you know that was the Prophet? How do you know? Because the only way you can know how the Prophet ﷺ was by going back to the hadith. And we have many books of hadith like Shama'il al-Muhammadiyah by al-Tirmidhi and other books of hadith which are compiled specifically to show the example of the Prophet ﷺ, what he used to dress in, what he used to look like, how he used to walk, everything. of the Prophet Muhammad, the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Ibn Qayyim mentions in this hadith is a point that the scholars are the closest of people to the prophets, since inheritance is for the people who are closest to the one who leaves inheritance. Yani when somebody's father passes away and he leaves, because he's the closest one, he leaves inheritance. Just as this is well established for the inheritance of the dinar and dirham, then likewise it is the same for the prophet inheritance, and Allah chooses for his mercy whom he wants. He continues, he says, this is also a guidance and a command to the ummah to obey the scholars. This hadith, yeah, that the scholars are the inheritance of the prophets, Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, the great scholar, he said, this is also a guidance and a command to the ummah to obey the scholars. Respect them, honor them, and admire them, and give them importance, since they are the inheritors of those whom the prophets have these rights upon the ummah, and they are the scholars of the khulafa of the prophets in this ummah. You'll find amongst the Muslim ummah, in certain countries, when the people didn't defend and respect their scholars, and the kuffar came and killed their scholars, you find that the Muslim ummah is depraved, is in a bad state. For example, if you go into certain Muslim countries in Africa, you'll find that that country, yeah, is in a bad way, bad situation, chaos, yeah, because they didn't protect their people of knowledge. They didn't obey their people of knowledge. They didn't turn to their people of knowledge. And you find them in chaos. And this is the situation we find in some of the Arab countries around the world, in the Muslim world. We find them in chaos, fighting each other, killing each other. Really, truly, the only thing that a Muslim can hope for, or any human being. Yeah. And this is something I asked one of the high-ranking officers in an army. I asked him, I said, what is the thing that people need the most? What is the thing that people love the most or need the most? They need food, drink? He said, no, security. Security is the biggest thing that somebody needs, the major thing that somebody needs, to be secure, yeah, to have safety, that they can walk out in the street, they can walk out to the masjid. And we find some of these Muslim countries, Arab countries, that there's chaos. You can't go to the masjid, you might get killed. Yeah, you might get killed. Yeah, how are you going to bring food, feed your family if there's no security? That's why going back to the people of knowledge and asking the people of knowledge, what should we do in these type of situations when there is fitan, when there is commotion, trials and tribulations? What should we do? We go back to the scholars and ask them, what should we do in the time? Why? Because we need security. We need security, okay? So Ibn Qayyim continues. He says, in this hadith, there is a point that loving the scholars is from the deen. Loving the scholars is from the deen of Islam. And hating them is a negation of your deen. Yeah? When people come along and they hate scholars or they say bad things against scholars, then where are they going to take their deen from? From somebody sitting in a small room behind the internet and hiding, yeah? The scholars are the people who are well known. The scholars are the people who are well known. And the scholars testify to each other that this person is a scholar. So if Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimullah, he said, if he says that Shaykh Rabi ibn Hadi al-Madkhali is an imam of the sunnah, we take this from him. And if he says something against somebody else and he says, do not turn to that man, he's an evil man, we keep away from that evil man. We keep away from them because we trust our scholars. We trust our scholars. So this is a negation of the deen, because then you don't know where to take the religion from. So the young and the foolish, they turn to each other. They turn to each other and say, what do you think? What is your opinion? What did you find in Google, Sheikh Google? What did you find? This is their way. But no, for the people of Sunnah, they stick to their scholars. The scholars that follow the Kitab and the Sunnah and the way of the Sunnah. And this is the negation of the deen, as is affirmed that their inheritance is knowledge. The inheritance of the scholars is knowledge. The Messenger ﷺ said, from what he's narrated from his Lord, and this is a proof that, there's a narration Ibn Qayyim mentions, Ali radhiyallahu anhu said, Ali, the fourth Khalifa of the Muslims, he said, loving the scholars is from the deen. And which we profess to Allah is from the religion. Loving the scholars is from the deen. With which we profess to Allah is from the religion. So loving the people of money. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is Ibn Qayyim's methodology, his manhaj. He'll bring the hadith and ayat and the athar of the salaf to establish his point. He said that hadith, which is hadith Qudsi from his Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. This hadith has been mentioned in Bukhari and in the Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah. Whoever shows enmity to a friend, a wali of mine, then he has declared an attack upon me. Whoever shows enmity to a friend, a wali of mine, then he has declared an attack upon me. And we know that the scholars, the people of knowledge, they are the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are the ones that are closest to Allah Azza wa Jal because they know how to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So when we find some young foolish people coming along and saying bad things against a scholar, yani cursing him and saying horrible things, or maybe even saying that they're not Muslim, this is a disgusting thing. I remember actually in Medina, there was a young chap, a very young chap, and he was new to Islam, and his mind was full of ideas and rubbish. And there was a teacher in the Prophet's Masjid. And this sheikh, he was old with a white beard. And he sits in the Prophet's Masjid. He teaches tafsir. And he's been teaching tafsir in the Prophet's Masjid. And he teaches everybody who newly wants to start practicing or getting religious. They all go to this sheikh, okay, in the Prophet's Masjid. And the sheikh was teaching tafsir for over 50 years. 50 years, this sheikh. I know this sheikh. He was teaching tafsir for 50 years. This young man, who doesn't even know how to recite Surah Fatiha properly. Yeah? He was from England, by the way. He didn't even know how to recite Surah Fatiha properly. He said, this Sheikh Abu Bakr, he's a kafir. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Such a horrible statement. Such a horrible statement. You can't even recite Surah Fatiha properly. So you don't even know if your prayer is accepted or not. Huh? You don't know nothing about the Sunnah, yeah. You don't have any knowledge. You couldn't even speak Arabic, nothing. And he's saying about this sheikh. He said he's a kafir, and he walked out the masjid. We were shocked. We were like, La ilaha illallah. We tried to, you know, keep away from them because maybe the curse of Allah will come upon him, because we know that if somebody says to somebody else that you're a kafir and he's not deserving of it, it comes back on him. Just like likewise, when these young shabab, when these young boys, they say that such and such sheikh, la'natullah alayhi, may Allah curse him, we move away from them quickly, because we don't know, the curse of Allah will probably come on that person, because we definitely know, and Allah knows best, that the curse will not come on the scholar, not on the scholar, it will come back on them. So we move away, and this is something the Salaf used to do. They used to get scared that if somebody was doing something wrong in the religion and innovation or anything like this, they would keep away. They would say, we don't know, maybe the curse of Allah will come upon that person. So, and the scholars are the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal, because they know how to worship Allah Azza wa Jal correctly. So that's the second question. What is man dinuk, yeah, what is your religion? What is the third question? Huh? Yalla, you have all three, mashallah. Man Nabiyuka. Who is your prophet? Yeah, who is your prophet? We know that there's many ayat in the Quran. Many, and you're more aware of them than I am. Many ayat in the Quran which talk about following the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah, verily, لَكَدْ كَانَ الْكُمْ فِي رُسُولِ اللَّهِ أَسْوَةً حَسَنًا. Indeed, in the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, you have a perfect example. Yeah, or the ayah in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul wa ulil amri minkum fa in tanaza'tum fi shay'in farudduhu ila Allah wa rasulihi in kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir dhalika khayrun wa ahsanu ta'wila. Oh you who believe, and this address is for the Muslims, obey Allah and obey the messenger and obey those who are in authority amongst you. And this is the command from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then, inshallah, we'll be covering this in another lesson, inshallah, another talk, inshallah, about obedience to those who are in authority amongst you. The ayah continues, and if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, then refer to Allah and His Messenger. If you believe in Allah and the last day, that is better and more suitable for a final determination. And the scholars of Islam from from the scholars of Tafsir, Ibn Kathir, and many other great scholars, they've mentioned that going back to the Allah and His Messenger is going back to Allah's book, the Quran, and going back to the Rasul is going back to his Sunnah, as you already well know. We know also that when we see that the Muslims are in this situation, yeah, that there is chaos, there is confusion, there are Muslims in a bad state, it makes us sad. But we know that the help of Allah will come. The help of Allah will come. But how will it come? These people, they come, these young and foolish young people, they come, they say, yes, we have to go out and fight jihad, and that's it. That's the only way we can solve this problem. Now we have, in one of the Arab countries, we have a Muslim country established, which is established in the Sharia. We have to go out and do it. No. This is not the correct way. This is not what the scholars are saying. The people of knowledge are not saying this. So where are you getting this from? You are getting this from your own desires. Your own desires. Yeah, because that methodology of doing that is not the correct way. That is not the correct way. We find from a hadith that the help of Allah comes with dua. There's a hadith from Mus'ab ibn Sa'd, from his father. He thought that he had an excellence above other than himself from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And there was this man, he thought he had an excellence above the companions. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, إِنَّمَا يَنْصُرُ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِالدَّعِيفِهَا. Indeed, Allah will only aid this ummah through its weak. Yeah, through its weak. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, بِدُعَائِهِمْ. So where does the help come from? Where does the aid come from? Does it come from having physical, you know, weapons and military might and power and everything? No. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is very clear. And nobody can be more truthful than the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So why is it that people turn away? Because they follow their desires. They think and they feel, but they don't turn to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, indeed Allah will only aid this ummah through its weak, by their supplication, their dua, wasalatihim, through their prayer, and their sincerity, through their ikhlas. This is a hadith which is collected by Ibn Nisa'i, and Shaykh al-Albani authenticated this hadith. Okay, Shaykh al-Albani continues, he says, know that the explanation of the word aid and victory, which is mentioned in the hadith, has been stated, that it is not aid or victory by the righteous ones physically by themselves, but rather it is by their dua and their sincerity. It is by their dua and sincerity. For example, if you look at the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the best of people. They had the most fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah? And that's why Allah blessed them to achieve so much. From their dua, from their prayer, from their sincerity. But if you look at majority of the Muslims, or these Muslims who go off to these places, you find them, well, he used to be a drug dealer. Okay? He used to be a drug dealer. Or he just got out of prison. Yeah? Or he used to be a criminal. And now he's fed up of life. Yeah, he's fed up and he just wants to go out and die. So they go off to these places and say, we're going to do jihad. You don't know nothing. Learn your religion first, your dua, your salah, your sincerity. This is how your victory will become. This is where your victory will come from. Not from this feeling of, I want to just go out and die. Sheikh Muhammad Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of our current times, who's a great, great scholar in fiqh and tafsir, in language. He said, it is not permissible. This is not jihad. This is not jihad to go out and just die. No. This is what he mentioned. He said that the jihad is not, this is not the correct way. To say, I will just go out and die. You know, at the time of the Sahaba, when they ever did anything like this, like take out an operation or a military campaign, this was organized. This was organized and this was done with reflection and to see what is going to be the result and these type of things. What is going on now is just chaos. Why? Because the people haven't gone back to the companions. They haven't gone back to the inheritors of the prophets. They haven't gone back to the basics of the knowledge to understand these three things. Who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who is your prophet? Yeah? Because like even when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, when we say La ilaha illallah, there are conditions to this. It's not just a matter of just rattling out of your, on your lips, on your tongues. There's a deep meaning to this. And this is something that, inshallah, we will study later on as well, the meanings of La ilaha illallah. Inshallah, we'll end there for today's talk. So basically, we're trying to cover the first three aspects, which is, who is your Lord? Establishing Tawheed, and the result of that Tawheed is having Taqwa. What is your religion? Following the Kitab and the Sunnah, and the understanding of the Salaf, first three generations, and going back to the inheritors of the Prophets. Warathat al-Anbiya, the inheritors of the Prophets, going back to them and taking the religion from them, from their understanding. And the third thing, who is your Prophet? And that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in adhering to the Sunnah. Adhering to the Sunnah, holding on to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is what will benefit us. If we say, well, that's not really going to help the people in such and such country. Yes, but it's going to help you in the grave when you're asked, who is your Prophet? And you followed that Prophet and you studied that and found out about the Prophet. That's what's going to help you. And that's what's going to be, the first thing that's going to help you when you're under the ground in the grave. So this is very important for us to learn these things. And we'll end there. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.